Talktainment Radio, worldwide sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse you.
Welcome to the second hour of the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. on TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go, the world's greatest radio. You are now in touch with the Compensatory Concept. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host, and this is radio the way it should be heard. Our topic today is the word focus. We are studying and involving ourselves and focusing in on words and what they mean, and how we interpret them, what is really being said. So we have to have laser sharp focus so that we don't get distracted into other areas and then we lose our focus and we're easily taken advantage of. Mr. Fuller has been explaining that in the first hour. You can get the replay on that. And find out what he had to say. Some very, very good points. Call in is 1-877-932-9766, or you could Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. Okay, let's see here. Mr. Fuller, before we go on, are you familiar with the company? Now, I'm talking about... reparations here. Some of the Gmails that I've received this week addressed that, or wanted me to address that, and also Nipsey Hussle, and then the Area 9 of War, Maximum Emergency Compensation Action. They wanted me to hit that because there was some confusion on that. But have you ever heard of the Compensated Emancipation Act of 1862 that was in the District of Columbia?
Emancipation Act?
The Compensated Emancipation Act of 1862 in the District of Columbia, signed by President Lincoln.
I never heard of it.
Okay, this was an act, a bill signed by Lincoln on April the 16th, 1862, amid ongoing congressional debate over an emancipation plan for border states. The act would set aside $1 million, immediately emancipated slaves in Washington, D.C., giving Union slaveholders up to $300 per slave. Now, that's something that the slave owners got compensated, but the slaves didn't, unless, this was the addendum to that, if they left the country. Wow, that was just really, really something. I was going to ask you, how did you feel about that? But you said you didn't know about that. But that's called the Compensated Emancipation Act of 1862, and it is on record that this happened. Wow. Okay. All right, let's do this here. This is this comes from Jay on the Gmails. It says this: Dear Mr. Fuller, when folks keep saying you, Mr. Fuller, said yes, someone should kill themselves if they kill someone else, even in self-defense. Well, about 8 episodes from the August the 10th, 2016 show was asking someone around there a guest called and was asking about defending yourself, and the guest and Mr. Fuller were kind of talking over each other, and Mr. Fuller said yes to another question, and at the same time the guest was asking about should someone kill themselves, even if they were defending themselves, and it made it seem like he said yes to that, but Mr. Fuller was answering another question, and there you go. This comes from Big Twit from Atlanta. I guess I don't remember the show, but on that particular episode that this Gmailer is referring to, was about, you were speaking about a little bit about the maximum emergency compensation, and this person was trying to not be confused on that. I don't remember the show in particular, but a lot of people had called in about that, you know, about that. What do you have to say about the maximum emergency compensation action? I know you don't really like to discuss it over the air based on the fact that people do get confused on that. So what do you have to say about that, Mr. Fuller?
That's one reason I've told people I don't prefer to talk about maximum emergency compensatory action. That's under WAR, the ninth area of activity, because it involves killing, okay? And it's very, very, very specific, very specific, very, very, very specific of what maximum emergency compensatory action is and what it isn't. And it doesn't involve killing oneself in after one kills someone in self-defense. So in answer to that, I want to clear that up.
Yes.
But I don't usually discuss it at all. I tell people to read it and make up their own evaluation of what is being said based on, and I hope that I made it explicit enough, all of the do's and don'ts that has to do with maximum emergency compensatory action under the WAR section, the nine areas of activity, the last area of activity, because it does involve the taking of doing, or it does involve bodily harm. It does deliberate bodily harm, and when it is executed, and why, and under what circumstances. And I do not talk about it on the air for the simple reason that has been named right here in just the last few minutes. Confusion. Nothing about killing should ever, 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 ever be confusing. I mean, that's what the white supremacists do. They say that this is that, and this is the other, and this is war. And this is not war, this is a police action. Et cetera, et cetera. And law enforcement includes this, and that this type of dangerous weapon cannot be used. That's inhumane. Rather than use this type of weapon, that's a humane type of weapon. And capital punishment. They're talking about killing. And killing should be very specific. And the laws of killing should be very, very specific. No wiggle room for anybody. And they should be uniform. They after you take samples of what best laws to come up with, those laws should be universal. According to what? According to logic. People are born into this world. Anytime anybody leaves this world by somebody else's hand, that should be very specific. And it should be very universal. I mean planet-wise, so yes, that no one is ever confused. There are people that commit murder, and then they talk to a lawyer every day like they're doing right now as we speak, and they say, okay, in this particular place, in this particular time, I'm not familiar with the laws here. I'm just passing through, but I killed this guy, you know, because I got mad at him. Now, what are the laws here? It shouldn't be in what are the laws here. It should be understood worldwide what happens when you do something like that, and it should apply to everybody. Why? Because of the laws of justice, that's why. I don't care what kind of society you're in. Killing is killing. Whether it's in so-called a war or whatever. You even have what they call war crimes. Well, if you're going to put it in that context, what does the textbook say about that? Well, white supremacy itself is a war crime.
Yes, it is.
The whole system of government is a war crime.
Mm-hmm.
And each white supremacist is automatically a criminal, according to what? Logic. See, when you start talking about crimes, you're based on logic. And definitely when you start talking about killing, anything dealing with killing should be well thought out. It shouldn't be made a sport, like it's what the white supremacists have made of it, which is why black people get guns and run around killing each other, shooting up and down the street. Why? Because they have been taught
mm-hmm.
that killing people is fun.
Like a safari.
It's a sport.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Like, yes, safaris. That's all they are. And you have a lot of black safaris going
yeah.
on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right? In every city. It's people finding any reason to kill somebody.
Mm.
And then saying, I'm sorry I did it. At least I'm going to tell you I'm sorry. Mm. And have some mercy on me when you catch me. Well, you didn't give any.
Yeah.
You didn't give any. Now, where's the logic in that? You're going to ask for something that you're not willing to give? Think about it, homeboy.
Mm.
All right?
Mm.
That nonsense should stop. I mean, and there should be laws and in the textbook for victims of white supremacy in both the area of law, the fifth area of activity, and in the laws of war, everything dealing with killing and the perspective from the compensatory logical view is right here in the textbook for victims of white supremacy.
Yeah, the ninth area.
And I don't like to talk about it on the air because it does involve death. Death making.
Okay.
Either in self-defense or when you deliberately go out and kill someone. Under what circumstances do you do it?
Hmm.
And that has to be very specific.
Yes,
there has
sir.
To be no guesswork in that.
Yes,
none.
Sir.
Zero.
All right. So now you heard it. I don't know how many times Mr. Fuller has said that and repeatedly said that. We got to stay focused on that. He does not want to discuss or does not like to discuss the ninth area of war, in particular, maximum emergency compensation action. You know, now you heard him say that. And if you have to play it over again, play it over again. Anyway, that's a good answer. Let's go to the Gmails here. This comes from Daryl. Okay, Daryl, here I go. And matter of fact, Mr. Fuller, there's been a lot of talk about the death of Nipsey Hussle. A lot of confusion going on, and we know the usual suspects are suspected of being involved in this. But anyway, he writes this, the late Nipsey Hussle was taken out because he didn't live in fear. He lived in the hood and worked to build it up from being a hood to a functional black community. He spoke against the effeminization of black men and cited Dr. Welsing's work, who he got hip to from a few individuals who also follow your work, Mr. Fuller. So who knows, he may have been followed some of what you say as well. And speaking of you and Dr. Welsing, you two, and you were all comfortable in speaking unpopular truth and didn't worry about the consequences, same with King and Malcolm. But our folk fear being ostracized or taken out for fighting against the system of white supremacy or just working on behalf of their own people, I think it's why many of them still ain't put the code into practice for fear of what the backlash may be if they openly question a suspected white supremacist. So what do you say, Mr. Fuller, to these folk in the community who seem frozen by fear and who choose to play it safe 24/7 instead of getting in the game and trying to make profit progress? Thank you.
Oh, if you're talking about fear, what does the code say about that? Everybody has fear of something, including Neely Fuller. And if you ask Neely Fuller, like some people have asked me, are you afraid of the white supremacist, Fuller? And the answer is yes. But I try to use an intelligent fear. But fear is normal. Fear serves a purpose. It warns you that something might happen that you don't want to happen. That's what fear is for. Fear is put into the universe by the creator of the universe. Animals know when to fold them and run. And people are the same way. Fuller is no exception. So I haven't reached the level of fear yet where it has traumatized me that I stopped doing what I'm doing. Now, the white supremacists are very shrewd at what they do. They are business people. So I have come to the conclusion they look at people like Neely Fuller and say, well, first of all, he's old. And second, his message doesn't appeal to young people, who are the most active people, who are the people who are likely to do something according to what he's saying. They're busy, you know, just doing what black people traditionally do. They're not interested in the race problem except when it affects them personally on a one-on-one basis. So we just won't pay any attention to him. He'll be dead shortly anyway. See, now that's my assessment of why the racists haven't approached me in any way, or simply just swatted me away, which they might do at any time, which they can do. It's nothing to do. You're the master of a prison, and you got prisoners milling around in the prison yard. You know where they get their food, this prisoner. You know where the cell is that you assigned them to. That prisoner isn't any place that you didn't assign them. So they can get you anytime. The prison master can just, as anybody know anything about a death camp, which is what a lot of prisons are, the prison master just takes his pistol and line everybody up and walks down the line and says, who is Henry Jones here? Henry Jones, you're here because you're in my prison anywhere on this planet, and you're black. So Henry Jones, step forward. So Neely Fuller, step forward. So I step forward, and he walks up, and he says, Fuller, we don't like some of the things you've been doing in my prison. So this is your last day. And he takes out the pistol and shoots me right there in the head in front of everybody. He ain't hiding. He don't have to hide. Who's going to beat him? He's the prison master. That's all he's got to do. So getting back to the person that you're talking about, the rapper.
Yes.
It is my suspicion that the white supremacist says, now here's a person who is influencing a lot of people or has the potential for taking hip-hop in another direction, and that direction being the way it started off with some of the original rappers like Chuck D and people like that. We can't have that. We can't have socially conscious rappers. That's a big influence worldwide on young minds. So, hey, he's got to go. So he's gone. That's it. But an old dude like Neely Fuller, people like Francis Wilson, well, she's been out here a long time. It's time for her to go, maybe. I don't know. But if Neely Fuller starts getting a wide audience, he's going too. Ain't nobody can stop it.
Yep.
And nobody can. So you take that all in stride.
Yes, sir.
if I wind up dead under mysterious circumstances, and all circumstances where black people die are mysterious.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You just say, well, it got rid of Neely Fuller, but we'll go on.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
We don't stop.
Yeah, that's speculation.
We don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
We don't stop. We ain't got time to even mourn Neely Fuller. I just want to put that out there right now. No. No. I mean, it's like Saving Private Ryan, that Captain Miller, when he was talking to his squad, he says, hey, this is not about feeling good or feeling bad. It ain't got nothing to do with feelings. It's got something to do with accomplishing the mission. Doesn't make any difference how anybody feels. You can feel good, you can feel bad, you can feel any kind of way you want to. But we are going to carry out this mission. Why? Because it makes sense to carry out the mission, regardless of how anybody feels. Regardless of who comes and goes, the mission is the thing.
We are talking about staying focused today, here Wednesday, April the 10th, 2019, on the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. And TalkTainmentRadio.com is a 24/7, no-charge, worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news and lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, politics. Now, here are three quick ones I'm going to share with you. Conversation with Don Corina, the Quay Morgan Hill Show, and Stairway to Heaven. And, of course, these shows are exclusive to TalkTainmentRadio.com. All you have to do is go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage, click on Programs, and then why don't you give us a sample of each one of the shows that we have listed there to see if you like it or if you don't like it. Just check it out. That's all you have to do. All this from TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby, and I am the co-host on the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., and our focus today is focus, how we have to stay focused in the system of white supremacy, racism. If not, we're going to get off track. All this stuff you see going around, you know what it is? Distractions. Mr. Fuller's been speaking to that. But let's go to the Gmails here. This comes from Kevin, and it's a two-part question, so I'll ask the first question and give Mr. Fuller a chance to answer the second question. Mr. Fuller, under the system of white supremacy, are non-white, specifically black people, as a whole, cowards?
Well, it depends on what the definition of coward is. And I would classify myself as one. I can't say about other people. But sure, that's supposed to be a stigma. Cowardice is based on fear of the unknown, fear of not being able to handle something. But cowardice, you can qualify. I can qualify. I think I qualify for being a coward. There are certain things I won't do that will disturb the white supremacists in a way that they will harm me immediately, physically, take me out of this world. I'm in their prison system. So if somebody says, are you scared to do that, Fuller? You scared to, you know, if somebody pulls you over, you're going to act like a coward? I mean, hey, you're supposed to have your stuff ready. You're supposed to have your guns. I mean, you know, and he walks up and asks you for your license, you shoot him. You know, you show him you ain't scared of him, and you ain't scared of nobody who's going to come behind him. Well, I say, yeah, well, I'm afraid to do that. Why? Because I don't think that's intelligent use of fear. You know, I'm afraid, but I don't think that my reaction should call for that type of thing unless I have decided that this is my last day on the planet, because I know that when I do something like that, I mean, and actually I'm just asking to be what? To be dead. So I can be dead anytime. I don't have to go through all of that, just go down the highway and make somebody angry at me speeding at 100 miles an hour. I know I'm going to get pulled over if I keep doing that. I'm doing 120 if I don't kill myself. somebody will catch up with me, helicopters and all that, at some point. And then I'm going to shoot the first person that comes up and say, may I see your license, please? And then what? I have escalated it. So, yes. Coward? Yeah, you can call me that. See, that's just name calling. You know, what does that mean? Functionally.
Okay. Before you answer his second question, listening to you speak, and we are speaking on being focused, I'm going to ask you before I read his second question. In a focused scenario, Mr. Fuller, would it be logical for a non-white person to use fear as a weapon against a person who is or could be classified as a racist?
To use fear?
Well, they're putting it on you. So in a focused scenario, would it be logical for a non-white person to use that same fear that they're putting on you as a weapon against them or to combat a racism, white supremacy?
Well, it depends on what the fear, if you want to use the word fear, you're really talking about how do you react to however you are feeling, because fear is a feeling. So codification is about just doing the logical thing.
Okay.
And that's why I wrote a code. I mean, so getting back to that feeling thing, fear is a feeling. See, but I'm saying, okay, you can have fear, and then, but what is your action going to be? That's the main thing.
Okay.
Not the fear, but the action.
Okay.
Is the action going to be effective?
Okay.
And so that's what a code is for. You mm-hmm. always do the thing, a code, if it deserves a name, code, should be something that works.
Okay.
When you do it, it works.
Okay. Now he's saying on his second question, Mr. Fuller, please speak on black people and the reluctance to read under racism, white supremacy. Is this conditioning, laziness, or both? And thank you.
Is the condition of the reaction?
He says, please speak on black people and the reluctance to read under racism, white supremacy. Is this conditioning, laziness, or both?
Could be. There's an old adage, and everybody's just about heard it by now. A lot of people have anyway, and that is what? If you want to hide something,
yes.
Black person, put it in a book.
If
you want to hide money or anything, put it in a book. That black person will not pick up that book. You leave something on the mail, the people that deliver mail, they put mail on your doorstep, and you run up to it, and the word has gone out. If you're black, you run up and look at that package, and it says books. That black person is going to say, oh, no, I am not risking going to jail, walking off with no book of any kind that was ever printed. No, give me some electronic gear or something like that. So could be something to that.
Yes.
And the white supremacists always want black people to have this mindset about a book. That's why in what you call plantation slavery days, they did what? They said, you can't read a book.
Ah.
In fact, if the master of the house saw one of his slaves looking at some of his books, when the slave didn't know that the master would catch him looking at the books, he would give him a good whipping.
Got to leave it there, Mr. Fuller. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. Podcasts are all available. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. We're going to hit that point again about slave owners and beating up people for reading. All that and more of your Gmail is coming up next. Thank you.
entertainmentradio.com is proud to present the compensatory concept. It is an effective system for countering the effects of white supremacy. TalkTainmentRadio.com is able to carry the first hour. However, the cost for the second hour is exceeding our limited budget. That is why we ask for your kind assistance in keeping the second hour on the air. If you believe like we do, help us in this struggle for justice. Go to the gold donate button on the TalkTainmentRadio.com web page and hit the gold donate button. That's the gold donate button. And please donate. Help us to keep the second hour of the compensatory concept on the air. Thank you.
Are you ready for a high school that allows you to work at a place that is right for you? Are you ready to earn a certification in healthcare, business, or manufacturing while achieving your high school diploma? Then you are ready for Life Skills High School, a free public school option for high school students 16 to 21 years old. Learn more about your free high school educational options at LifeSkillsHS.org or call them at 1-800-888-7992. Life Skills High School, education that fits your life.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kicking online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kicking products are better than those other guys. Ash Kicking candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Shop Ash Kicking online at www.ashkickin.com.
Stand by for an important announcement for renters and investors.
You have probably heard about this bad economy and high foreclosure rate. I'm here to bring you hope. Every foreclosed property is a blessing or a deal for a new buyer or investor. These properties are selling every day all over Central Ohio for several reasons. They are equity rich, worth tens of thousands of dollars above their price. There is down payment money available and remodeling funds if needed. Don't let the doom and gloom news keep you from your dream of home ownership. Call Linco Realty today at 865-9614. That's 865-9614. Call now. Always remember, these times, like all times, are good times if we but know what to do with them. They also have programs for investors who want to get off the couch and run with the big dogs. Call Linco today at 865-9614 or log on to repohomeslist.com.
Looking for something special for your club or group? Take a trip. Cruise Planners will help you plan the event of a lifetime. Explore exotic places from Africa to Asia, Bermuda to Las Vegas to Hawaii, with special offers that make it affordable and exciting. Click on to www.greatgetawaytrips.com for great deals or call today at 614-707-SHIP. That's 614-707-7447.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inaharo, the author of the Essence Magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of a Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
Ready to warm up from this cold weather? Planners will help you find the perfect vacation spot. Explore exotic places from Africa to Asia, the Caribbean to Las Vegas to Disneyland with www.greatgetawaytrip.com for great deals or call today at 614-707-FHIP. That's 614-707-7447.
For the class of 07, finishing high school can be a struggle.
I sort of got messed up into gangs and other stuff.
There are struggles in the classroom and out of it.
I bounced from like foster home to foster home.
But even with all the obstacles in their way, they want to graduate.
It would just make the entire family proud to know that one of us actually made it.
Introducing the class of 07, 10 films by 10 students across the nation trying to graduate. Go to boostup.org to see their stories. High school is hard. Graduating is harder. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Live call-in talk show. Dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You got the power.
Alrighty, TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That is radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. And our topic today is focused. Focus. Do you know what it is? Do you know how it works in the system of white supremacy, racism? That's what we've been discussing, or Mr. Fuller has been discussing today. 1-877-932-9766 is the number that you can call to get into the show. Or you can Gmail me, 7MrBobby, B-O-B-B-Y @gmail.com. Mr. Fuller, would you like to finish that thought? You were talking about blacks in slave, so-called slave days were being beaten for reading books and so forth. Hello?
Good morning. I'll just
okay.
Say hello.
Yeah, can you okay. Hear me? Yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Just a few more remarks. Yes, reading can be laborious. That's why I tried to write the code book in such a way that I tell people in the book itself, in the introductory remarks, just pick up the book and turn to any page. That's how you start. That's the best way to do it, rather than try to find time to sit down and go through the whole book. In this day and time, particularly in the Northwestern Hemisphere, that's not going to work very well for most people anyway. So just pick up the book and sample something. Just turn to any page and read what's on that page and see if you get something out of it. And just do that for quite a period of time. Sometimes I read books like that. Particularly, I have a favorite way of reading a number of books, books of quotes, nothing but quotes. I kind of have a tendency to have an appeal, rather. I gravitate toward books that have quotes in them, nothing but quotes, quotes from different people. And just turn to any page and pick up something and think about what I just read, just one sentence. Or one paragraph, and think about it, and you get a lot out of that. I find that works for a lot of people.
Yes, sir.
In fact, I have a quote section in the basic book, the 2016 edition, in the back of the book of nothing but my quotes. the soundbite, you might call them, in this day and time. So reading is laborious for most time. People are busy. They just don't have time to read. Television helps. A lot of people say they don't look at television. I look at a lot of television because you're supposed to keep up on what people are doing even if you don't agree with it. You're in the world. You're in this prison yard. Things happen in the prison yard. You want to be aware of things that are going on around you. You can't insulate or isolate yourself from it. There's no way to hide. There's no place to go. A prison is a prison. And the white supremacists always know where you are, and
pretty
well know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right.
All righty. Let's go to the phone lines. Caller, you are now one with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Hi, can I be heard?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay. Mr. Fuller, I wanted to ask you about animals under the system of white supremacy. Some people, like PETA, they wrote a whole article about how animals are also under the system of white supremacy. They were talking about things such as factory farms where millions of animals are tortured, beaten, and killed, and, you know, poachers, all types of stuff like that. Would you consider animals also under this system of white supremacy?
Well, the white supremacists want to be familiar with everything in the universe. That's why they just don't travel up and down a river or go up under the oceans and look at a few things. They do all of that. They'll go to the bottom, like I said in the code book. The white supremacists will go to the bottom of the ocean and get one grain of sand and take that grain of sand and put it under a microscope and study that one grain of sand for 10 years. And so somebody like me would walk past and say, "Hey, Brian, what are you doing?" And he'll say, "I'm looking through this microscope at this grain of sand." I say, what are you looking at a grain of sand for? And he'll say, "Because it's there." See, now, if he's a white supremacist, Brian, or whatever his name is, that's the way he thinks. Anything in the universe, he wants to know about it. Why? Because knowledge is power. The more things you know, the more power you have. That's just the way it works. All right? So they don't turn down knowledge of any kind. An opportunity for knowledge. The ones that are highly skilled. The ones who are most powerful. The ones who tell black people what to do every day. They'll study a grain of sand and say, and I'll say, "Brian, how long have you been doing this?" He'll say, 10 years. And I say, "What are you doing it for?" He said, "Because it's there. And the fact that it's there means it's there for a reason. And I'm going to find out the reason." And I'm going to say, "Man, you're spending a whole lot of time finding out about a grain of sand. I mean, you got sand in your head." And me, I'll walk off and laugh, all right? But this is the person who tells me what to do, or his grandchildren, because they think that way, all right? So I think in getting to the core of what we're talking about here, they study everything, animals, every type of animal, every type of leaf on every tree.
Mm-hmm.
I see trees all the time. I don't know one tree from another. Every now and then I'll spot one and I'll say, "Well, that looks like a redwood." Okay, but I'm not too sure of that. But there are a lot of people, usually white, who spend huge amounts of time being able to name not only the trees, but every leaf on each tree and why one leaf is bigger than the other.
Because they're focused.
One tree. Why? Because one leaf is bigger than the other on that tree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people like that, people who think that way, will always be more powerful than people who don't.
Yes, yes. And being focused.
Is their
key.
Being able to burn midnight oil studying one grain of sand.
Mm.
All right.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That is radio the way it should be heard. It is 45 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock in the Eastern time zone of the concept called the United States of America. But it is at this time that we designate Mr. Fuller to talk about his book. Now, stay focused on the information that he's going to give you, and in particular, the web address that you can get his book. Please. Mr. Fuller, go ahead, please.
Go to producejustice.com. That's producejustice.com. Not produce justice something else. Producejustice.com. Just those words. Producejustice.com. And what that will lead you to is the screen that will show the books, the Compensatory Counter-Racist Basic Book, 1984 edition, which is, that's the original. But there is a revised, expanded edition, 2016, updated edition, revised and expanded. It includes most of the material, almost all of it, that's in the original 1984 edition, the one that has the computer design on it. But the 2016 edition has updated material, a lot more material, and it also includes what was in the 1984 edition. The book is designed to help a person who is a victim of white supremacy. If you don't consider yourself a victim of racism in any form or fashion, in any area of activity, then the book is not for you. It's a waste of your time, I guess, unless you want to get rid of racism, including a white person. But white people won't need to read the book, in my opinion, because white people got some idea already about how racism works. And if they want to get rid of it and make it a priority, the average white person can figure that out in about 15 minutes. No more than that. The average white person who is serious about getting rid of racism, they're right in the middle of it. They most likely have practiced it or are practicing racism, so they know what to do to get rid of it. To stop doing a lot of the things that they're doing and start doing things that have to do with replacing racism with justice. Because all they have to do is just center on the idea of justice, really. Mm-hmm. They don't even have to study anything about racism. Just study, you know, justice. Guarantee that no person is mistreated, and guarantee that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help each and every day. That's what every black person should be doing. That's what every person should be doing on the planet. So that's what the book is basically about. But it's, the book is addressed to individuals. That's why I wrote the book, because I needed something for the individual. What does the individual do each and every day? I mean, I went to meetings, and I'm looking for the leaders to tell me what to do and all like that. And usually that wore off because I didn't know what to do every day, each and every minute of each and every day. How do I handle this? How do I handle that? Because there are problems each and every day. So I tried to write a book, a code, you might say, that will address those problems. Because everything is about problem solving, just those two words. Most people will say that they have problems. There's a reason why you have problems. So under the system of white supremacy, if you're classified as non-white, you have problems, whether you recognize them or not. Mm-hmm. And the white supremacists have brought about these problems, or aggravated problems that were already there. So the book is designed to tell you what to do about it on a day-to-day basis. What to do, what to say. What to not do, what to not say in various circumstances.
Okay.
Go to producejustice.com.
All righty. All right, let's go to the Gmails. This is from Brother Thompson. He says he has two quick questions, Mr. Fuller. Number one, Mr. Fuller is against the phony wars of white supremacy to steal land and resources from people of color. So why do you, Mr. Fuller, like to watch war movies so much?
Oh, because you learn. You see, black people are not going to learn much of anything by studying each other, which is what we do each and every day. Black people pay more attention to other black people than they pay attention to birds, bees, flowers, trees, buildings going up all around them, all around us. Buildings are being built. Do we actually walk down the street and say, what is that building going to be about? And what are all those people going in and out of that building? What do they do when they go into that building? I've never been in that building. Do we actually do that? No. Tell the truth to yourself. Black people walk down the street, passing millions of people maybe, if there's that many on the street, and they look for another black person. Look for another black person in order to do what? Just to look at them and check them out and make a judgment about them, whether or not they are about something or about nothing. That's how we've been trained.
That's how we've been
trained. We've been trained to just keep our eyes watching other black people so we can do what? Just no more than have some trivial gossip about them. I mean, just say something. In our own minds, even if we're not talking to anybody, we check each other out, all right? And we pass the people who are running the world, sitting right next to them on a train, on an airplane, the people who are running everything, including all of your business, and you're not paying no attention to them at all. Don't even see them. It's like they're not even there. Until they hit you over the head with something,
yeah.
Tell you to get out of the way. And then our reaction then, it's not going to pay off because it's going to be with anger, and we're just going to lash out this any kind of way rather than have a code for what you do.
Yes, sir. Okay, not staying focused. Remember, that's our thing.
That's what
I mean. Be focused.
Stay focused on who's running the world, including all your business. Something that we don't even pay attention to, not to say anything about focus.
Okay, and then his second question is this. He says, Mr. Fuller, why can't black people be polite and speak to each other in public? Why are we always trying to be so hardcore, like we have no emotions toward each other or don't care about each other? When I'm in public, Mr. Fuller, whites speak all the time. You have to drag it out of our people. Could you help me?
Well, we've been trained that way. We have all been trained that way. We have a natural now. It's natural. A hostility.
Hardcore.
For anybody that looks like us. The more they look like us, the more we hate them. Why? Because we hate weakness. That's why. See, we see each other as being weak, but we walk around all day trying to pretend that we are strong. Prisoners of war don't have to pretend. You're a prisoner of war. We need to stay focused on that. See, to stop lying to ourselves about us being powerful kings and queens, and that we put on some kente cloth, and all of a sudden, like magic, we can conquer the world. It ain't so. It ain't going to happen, period. It ain't going to help you to do nothing but give you an illusion that you are something that you are not, other than a prisoner of war. We have to actually scientifically study the system of white supremacy, is and how it works.
Yes, that reminds me of that movie that Richard Pryor and Gene, whatever his last name was in movie. But this one particular scene, you always say pay attention to movies, where they got thrown into prison. And Richard Pryor, when they got thrown in, they were scared, but they pretend like, yeah, that's right, we bad, I'm bad, I'm bad. Trying to make themselves be something that they are not until they ran against somebody else who put the fear in them. That's right, we bet. Anybody know the name of that movie? I forgot the name of that. But when you were
Sarah Fraser?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah. That's it. That's it. Steer crazy. Yeah.
And everybody, most black people who saw that scene where Richard Pryor was walking into the prison, yeah, I'm bad. Yeah, I'm bad. Anybody mess with me, I'm bad. See? And in answer to the caller's question, that is black people all over the world walking among other black people.
Yeah, I'm bad.
Get out of the way. I'm bad. Yeah, I'm bad. If you kind of wonder whether or not I'm bad or not, I'm bad. I will whoop you. I will whoop you, Negro. I will whoop you like you've never been whooped before. I'll whoop you more than any white folks will ever whoop you.
Yeah, I'm bad.
And all over the Northwestern Hemisphere, that type of philosophy of life, that's black people, the black males, whole philosophy.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any philosophy other than that.
Yeah.
The truth.
Yeah, he was bad until he met the other guy, that guy that was going to get into it.
I didn't see the whole movie, but I saw that scene.
Yeah.
And kind of play it out. And the reason it is distinctive is because it's true.
Yes, sir.
See what I mean? Just like in Shawshank Redemption. Now, Andy Dufresne, the white man, the character in the movie.
Yes, sir.
He was the baddest person in that movie. All right, if you want to use that term, bad, whatever that means.
Yeah.
Yet, he came across right from the beginning of being nothing.
Mm-hmm, yes.
All right? But he was what that made him stand out? He was a thinker.
He was focused, wasn't he?
He used his mind, and he had focus.
Yes, sir.
I am not going to spend the rest of my days in here trying to hustle cigarettes and starting fights and trying to keep from being sodomized and sodomizing somebody else.
Mm.
That's not what I'm going to be about. I'm going to spend the rest of my days trying to get out of here.
And
since this institution is crooked from top to bottom, that crooked warden, on my way out, I'm going to bring him down.
Yes.
Okay? And I'm going to do it in such a way that his own, the people who are with him will bring him down.
And even when he was raped, he did not lose focus.
He did not lose focus. He did not give up.
Mm.
And even when he was put in solitary confinement, he said, I had music in my mind.
Mm.
And Red said, what? He said, what do you mean? You had music in your mind? He said, yeah, that's what kept me focused.
Focused.
You know, I was able to concentrate on something outside of being in solitary confinement. And he said, hey, what is that supposed to do? And then they use that word, what? Hope.
Hope.
H-O-P-E. He said, yeah, it gave me hope.
Mm.
And what did Red tell him? He said, hope is a dangerous thing. He said, you better get that out of your head. It's got no place for people in a prison. Say, hope will drive you crazy. But Andy Dufresne said, oh, no, hope is the thing that will keep you sane.
Mm.
What little sanity you got that you have lost in here, like most of you all have.
Mm.
So I have hope, and that gives me incentive.
Yeah,
hope meaning what? Get to that word we've been using in this program.
Focus.
Hope gives you what?
Focus. All right, well.
If you don't have any hope, you don't have any focus.
Yeah, me focus. We have to leave it there. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuller. Thank you, callers. Focus is what our determination is. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio the way it should be heard. We'll focus on next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. Heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio.
The most important question in all racial matters is why one should always ask it.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.